It's time for the Rink Rats with your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Jesse Granger. We are back from LA. And can we just take a minute to shit on LA traffic?
I despise that city with every inch of my soul.
Like, what's worse, the traffic or the hockey team?
Traffic. There's no hockey team that's as bad as LA traffic.
Arizona?
No, the worst team in the in the ECHL is better than LA traffic.
I disagree.
I could not. I don't think I hate anything more than LA traffic.
There's got to be something. Like, you're just not thinking of things.
I despise it. 12.6 miles from my hotel Staples. Mm-hmm. I could probably bike ride 12.6 miles in like 20 minutes, maybe 30.
Wow, look at you.
Well, I'm just assuming, like, I mean, a normal human being can bike ride that. Maybe like if you were like really slow, maybe like an hour to do 12 miles on a bike. That'd be like insanely slow. Mm-hmm. And it took me an hour and 35 minutes to drive there.
Well, there was a moment in time where I was being told by my GPS to get off at an exit close to downtown Los Angeles. And the exit was an eighth of a mile away from where I was currently. Like, getting off the freeway was an eighth of a mile away from where I was. And that took me 25 minutes.
Yep.
Easy.
This is like what like really shows how crappy LA traffic is. We'd go to morning skate, and there would be 5 hours until I needed to be back at the arena. And I was afraid to go get lunch because I didn't think 5 hours was enough to drive, eat, and drive back.
Yeah, no, I had those same feelings.
I was genuinely worried I'd be late to the game because I only had 5 hours.
Like 80% of the fans were?
That is I mean, they're all late. And, like, I don't blame any of them because you'd have to leave your house at noon to get there for a 7:30 game. Basically, it's ridiculous. Yeah. That city sucks. I hate that city.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have to go back there.
Yeah, I was glad.
Like, that was the only thing that I was saying to myself. It's like, if you sweep or you don't sweep, at least win it in five.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're going to win the series anyway, please don't make me go back to L.A.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And, like, I went to L.A. the first time, but for whatever reason, I just didn't. Probably because I was there for, I drove there, covered the game, and drove out at 1 a.m. I didn't actually stay in a hotel there. I didn't, like, deal with it. Anaheim's so much better, and it's, like, right up the street. Anaheim's way better. It's not tough. There's no traffic in Anaheim.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm from Southern California, not Anaheim area, and I can't accept that. Like, as bad as LA traffic was, and as much as I absolutely hated it over the course of the last 4 days, 3 days, whatever it was, I still can't admit that Anaheim's better at anything.
Oh, it's better. It's better at being a city. I don't know if, like, their sports teams are better, but, like, Anaheim is definitely better than LA at being a city.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about, and by the way, I mean, we haven't even talked about it. We haven't gotten into it, but the Vegas Golden Knights swept the Los Angeles Kings. So everybody that picked LA, and mainly I'm gonna talk about Barry Melrose here for a minute, because Barry Melrose had, I think, the greatest breakdown of this series before the series even happened. He's like, intangibles, LA, they've been through it, intangibles, LA in six.
Yep, and that's what I said before the series. Like, I don't mind if you pick the Kings, but give me a real reason.
None.
Give me an actual, I did not see one person that picked the Kings and gave a hockey reason that had to do with the teams that are on the ice this year.
Right, like their cycle game will really expose the Knights' lack of defensive awareness in their own zone and their ability to rotate and cover. Like, that would have been something. If somebody gave you that, you'd be like, okay, I can kind of see it. But they didn't. They're just like, LA's been here before, and they won a Stanley Cup 4 years ago. Never mind the fact that they haven't been able to win a playoff series since. Never mind the fact that they missed the playoffs three out of those 4 years. Never mind any of that. Apparently, none of that matters because LA is the hardened, battled veterans that just can't lose in the playoffs, even though they have.
We tried to tell everyone LA is not that scary. And guess what? Neither is San Jose.
Yeah.
Would Anaheim have been.
Well, I mean, we got our answer on Anaheim, right?
Well, but you can say that now. But just, I mean, people thought the Ducks were dangerous just like they thought the Kings were dangerous before four games ago.
Yeah, I don't know anybody, and And I know that people out there picked Anaheim to beat San Jose.
I picked Anaheim.
Yeah, well, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason we have hashtag suck at Granger. It's just, it's a thing that you do. You get things wrong quite frequently.
I get them right frequently, too, though.
You said 5-5 in the first 10.
That's true. I did say that.
Yeah.
What you're, a stupid
you're
thing
totally,
to say.
Totally wrong on Ryan Reeves, too.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was way off on Ryan Reeves. I should have listened to all those people. He's been great in the playoffs, by the way.
Fantastic.
Golden Knights record against the LA Kings with Ryan Reeves in the lineup, 0-2.
Here we go.
Golden Knights record without Ryan Reeves in the lineup, 6-0. If there is a team out there that everyone that loves Ryan Reeves said we would need him against, absolutely need him against, it's the Kings. They're 0-2 with him. They're 6-0 without him.
But
they'd be 14-0 without him
but
if
you
they
know,
kept playing him.
You know what's going to happen, though, with San Jose is people are going to look at Evander Kane, and they're going to be like, oh, my God, Evander Kane, he can fight, and he hits, and he lays the body, and he's fast and all this. Like, Evander Kane's going to take a run, and he's not afraid to fight. You're going to need a guy like Ryan Reeves
on the
ice.
That's the thing. We're going into game four. Of the Kings game. They were up 3-0. They're beating the hell out of the Kings without Ryan Reeves. The last two games he played with against the Kings, they lost. And there were still fans asking for Ryan Reeves to get put in because, oh, the Kings are – they've given up on the season once they're down 3-0. They're going to try to cheap shot. We need him in there. Like, no, you don't. And just beat them at hockey.
But see, like, here's the best part about everything as it pertains to the LA Kings in games 3 and game 4, because there really wasn't much of a push from them at all in games 1 and 2. I thought 1 and 2 really was all Golden Knights all the time, full, complete,
just quick,
60 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of Jonathan Quick. But the pushback from LA in periods 1 of games 3 and 4 was impressive. And it was one of those things where you're like, okay, maybe LA can get enough to where they can have a little bit of separation, one or, you know, a couple goals lead, and then clamp it down defensively, clog up the neutral zone, not allow Vegas' speed to stretch them out, and maybe they can steal a game or two.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it took everything out of them in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing left. And then, like, oh my God, they out-hit Vegas 28-5 in the first period. And then had 17 hits through the remaining 40. Like, Vegas wasn't getting hit after the first period. They just, like, L.A. could not touch the Golden Knights after they punched themselves out. They just couldn't.
Yeah, punched themselves out is the perfect metaphor because it was rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me before the series, one of these teams is going to outsmart the other one, out-experience, mm-hmm. out-maturity level the other one, by just letting if you were to tell me one of these teams is going to come like a bat out of hell out of the gates and punt and blow their wad in the first period and then not have anything left for the second, I would have thought it was going to be Vegas. It's the young kids that have never been in the playoffs that are excited. And then meanwhile, the mature Kings will sit back, let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, guys. We're fine. Wait until the second. But that's the exact opposite happened. The Golden Knights rope-a-doped them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, keep hitting me. Keep hitting. The thing is, the Kings, when they did that, after the first period of game 4, I forgot who I was talking to in the press box, but I'm like, the Kings are screwed.
Yeah. You and I had talked, I think, and I just said, LA coming out of that period without a lead is the worst possible thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah, they spent all that energy. You needed to have a 2-0 lead so that you could go back into a shell and conserve energy. Mm-hmm. But like when you expend all that energy and get nothing out of it, I mean, like I said, the Golden Knights were rope-a-doping them, and they were able to do that because Fleury was amazing. I mean, if you have Pekarinen back there, the Vezina winning Pekarinen, if the Golden Knights had him in net, that strategy wouldn't have worked because the Kings would have been up 17-0 after the first period. But
somebody doesn't like Pekarinen.
He's awful. Have you watched playoffs?
I mean, I've watched periods here and there. Like I've been wanting to really get into that series, the Nashville Colorado series. I really have, and to an extent, I've been keeping as close of an eye on it as I can. But man, Game 4, like the chippiness in that game, just kind of turned me off.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing that I want to go on.
Okay.
I've been told, and nobody would listen any other way, I've been told all season, and especially since Ryan Reeves was acquired, that you, once the playoffs get here, the referees don't call penalties. So the only way for your players to not die on the ice is to have someone like Ryan Reeves to police the game because the referees won't call penalties. I have been watching a lot of playoff hockey, and I think I've seen more minutes with a man advantage than I have 5-on-5. There's like 50 penalties a game in every series. It's not just one series. The Golden Knights and Kings, they're each averaging like 4 penalties a game.
Yeah, I mean, but look at the volume of infractions that take place. I mean, I think nowadays the game is called closer to the regular season than it ever has been in the playoffs.
Yeah, because it's not freaking Neanderthal hockey anymore.
I mean, Ryan Hartman coming across and throwing a high hit and Kucherov with a borderline hit. And
Kucherov, I mean, I don't even think that was borderline. I think Kucherov should be suspended.
Well, he's not, and Hartman is, and I think that's more of a reputation, but I think there was a lot of retribution, retaliation in Hartman's hit.
It's why Doughty got suspended.
Where, yeah, well, I agree with that too, but I don't think that it's lacking the Neanderthal aspect. I think these players have zero respect for each other, and like, how is it possible that in the first round we have 3 or 4 headshots that we have to determine whether or not are suspensions? Like, I mean, the Nazem Kadri hit was stupid and ridiculous and absolutely suspendable. The Doughty hit, while the more I look at it, the more I realize that Doughty missed a check. I mean, he missed the check, but he didn't avoid the contact with the head after he missed the check. And granted, it happened really quickly, but still, the way Carrier was going at him all game, you knew that those guys, if they came together and it was a questionable hit, it wasn't going to work out in Doughty's favor. The Kucherov hit, I'm not a fan of. The Hartman hit, I'm not a fan of. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff in this playoffs. The Morrissey cross-check to the head of Eric Staal. Like, these players don't give a shit about each other's safety.
But it's being called. That's my point.
The Morrissey one wasn't called.
Every once in a while, they miss one. But for the most part,
did Kucherov get a penalty?
I wasn't watching that game. I don't think Kucherov. I only saw the replay.
Kucherov was called. The Doughty one was called, and the Hartman one was called.
But my point is, you don't need players to. Do you think that any of those hits would have not happened if that team had Ryan Reeves on the bench?
No. That
doesn't matter.
No, I agree with you. I don't think you need a Ryan.
My point is, and it's not just, and I'm singling out Reeves because he's the guy on the Golden Knights, but there are a lot of these guys in the league. And my point is, you don't need them unless they're good hockey players and they contribute in other ways. Just be better at hockey. The Golden Knights were just better at hockey than the LA Kings.
Yeah,
and that's why we have a week off. Because they're just better than them at hockey. They didn't try to go in there and fight them or didn't go in there and try to protect their guys or enforce their will. No, just beat them at hockey. Score goals. Score more goals than they do. Yep. And when Fleury's playing like the greatest goalie to ever live, you don't have to score many.
Let me ask you this, because I've been trying to phrase this question since the end of the series. Which goalie was better?
Fleury.
Yeah.
He only, I think because Quick had that one game in the double overtime where he had like 56 shots on him, I think people, because of that, I think it gets distorted and people think, oh, Quick had, the Golden Knights had way more shots in every game when they really didn't. I think Fleury only had like 8 fewer shots on him than Quick did.
Series-wide?
Yeah, for the series. So, And Fleury obviously had a much better save percentage and allowed fewer goals. He allowed one fewer goal in every game.
Right.
And there were games when the Kings outshot the Golden Knights. It wasn't like the Golden Knights were the first two games the Golden Knights handled. But in L.A., the Kings got the majority of the shots.
No,
they just couldn't beat Fleury.
I agree. I guess where I was going with that is, while Marc-Andre Fleury made a lot of saves, and he made key saves, do you remember LA having in a game 5 to 10 really high quality scoring chances?
No, but I don't think the Golden Knights did either.
But I think that the Golden Knights had more than LA did.
Slightly more. I mean, they did. They had more.
I think that the body of work, the amount of higher quality saves that Jonathan Quick had to make, especially knowing that his team's not going to get him any scoring, was it was as dominant as I've seen Jonathan Quick in a playoff series in a long time, and it still wasn't good enough.
I agree, but I just think Fleury. I think Fleury had one of the top 10 series maybe ever in goaltending. Now there are some times where it's like a 7-game series, so there's more to work off.
Sure,
but for 4 games, I mean, he let up 3 goals, right? The goals were that he allowed were a deflection off of Derek England's leg right mm-hmm. in front of him.
Yep.
In game 2, because the first game was a shutout.
Yep.
Game 2, the one that went 1-1 and went to triple overtime, or almost triple overtime.
Yeah.
So he let up a goal off Derek England's leg, which there's absolutely no physical way for him to possibly make that save. The second one he gave up was in game 3, and it was Drew Doughty to Iafallo.
Brown takes a hit in the corner, gets it to Kopitar. Kopitar cross crease to Iafallo, wide open.
And Iafallo, yeah. So there's no way for him to make that save.
No.
And then the third one he let up was deflected by Kopitar in front of the net while he was screened.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Did not allow a goal that was possible for him to save. There was not a shot that he physically had a possibility of making the save that he let up.
Yeah.
And it was 4 games, but there was the double overtime. In like 275 minutes of hockey, they didn't beat Marc-Andre Fleury on a shot. That's unbelievable.
Now, the question is going to be asked, I'm sure, and maybe to a lesser extent now that San Jose swept Anaheim and they're going to have about the same amount of rest as the Golden Knights before game 1, but from a goaltending perspective, how difficult is it going to be for Marc-Andre Fleury to stay sharp, to stay in that zone where you're talking about 4 games and some overtime and a shot that he had no chance is the only shots that are going in?
It won't be easy. I mean, it's going to be tough on him. Yeah. And if you're the Golden Knights, and same goes for the Sharks, obviously, because they're going through the same thing.
Right.
And Jones was spectacular also.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the first period of the first game, you need to keep the shots to the outside. Let him get in a rhythm. And if Fleury can make a couple nice glove saves from shots from the point and kind of get his feet under him, let him play the puck behind the net, mm-hmm. then he'll be fine after 10 minutes. But that first 10 minutes, if they're getting 2-on-1s or like a really good chance in front, I mean, it's hard to simulate because they're practicing every day, but it's just not the same because in practice, even when they do the drills where there's a guy in front of Fleury and he's trying to screen him, mm-hmm. that's one guy.
Yeah.
One guy is not going to screen Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to see around him. In the game, like the Kopitar goal, there was like 6 guys in between the shot and Fleury, and then it still had to get tipped to get him. Like, and that's what he's going to have to deal with against San Jose. They're going to park the guys in front of the net, Kane in front of the net. So you can't simulate that really in practice. So the first 10 minutes are going to be hard.
Yeah, it's going to be harder on him than any other player, any other position
yes.
on the team for sure. And it's nice, though, that Martin Jones is going to have to be fighting through that same thing as well.
And Fleury, if you ask me, who do you trust more in the second round of the playoffs? I mean, it's Fleury. So I mean, you feel great about that, the goaltending matchup. There's not a goaltending matchup right now that the Golden Knights don't feel where they have the advantage because Jonathan Quick just played. He's the second best goalie in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, Martin Jones had a great first round, but you know, Martin Jones is interesting because like I look at him as being really, really good down low. Like he's got
yes.
strong legs. He's able to get down. It's almost impossible to beat him on the ice. But where I think he struggles the most, as far as getting from good to great to elite, is going to be on lateral movement. It's his ability to not just move laterally, but to move maybe diagonally, so he's lateral and coming out to meet the play. And so what ends up happening, or what I think is going to happen in the series, is that Martin Jones is going to struggle with the Golden Knights' offensive attack because they're so good at moving the puck east-west to get scoring chances, whether it be 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, or even just finding seams either low to high, high to low, when they're actually getting some sustained zone time. So when you look at the Golden Knights and how their offense is built versus how Martin Jones, the strengths that he has as a goalie, I think it's a really favorable matchup for Vegas.
I completely agree. He's also not great when you shoot between your legs.
You're saying his five hole is weak? Or
No. When you shoot between your own legs. When you shoot between your own legs.
Okay, that's the last memory that San Jose has of playing at T-Mobile Arena.
Yep, and the last memory they have of playing the Golden Knights at their arena was when they celebrated like they won the Stanley Cup for an overtime game.
After an overtime game.
Yeah, I mean, and we're going to talk more about that series right before it. But, no, I mean, Fleury's been great. And Quick was great, too. I just think, like, when you ask me the question, who was better?
Mm-hmm.
And Quick did have more high danger chances on him. But the James Neal goal.
Shouldn't have gone in.
I wouldn't say it's a soft goal, but he was beat on the play. Like, James Neal, one-on-one, he beat Jonathan Quick.
Yeah, I agree.
That did not happen in four games to Fleury.
And I think that that's a save Jonathan Quick has to have.
His MO is he has a weak five hole. It's been that way his whole career.
Yeah.
That's how you beat him. Because Jonathan Quick is so aggressive, he's one of the best skaters in the league as far as goalies go.
Yeah.
He skates really well. And because he skates well and because he likes to come out of the crease and be aggressive, he stays on his skates longer than most goalies. And that's how you beat a goalie that stays on his skates. Now, if you try to go around him, he's not going to go down and he can get around with you. If you go low between the legs, he drops his pads later than most goalies do.
Yeah, no, I agree with that because on that goal specifically, he wasn't even set.
No,
like he wasn't even set when James Neal took the shot. Well, and he still got like a piece of it.
Neal did a great job of shooting a half stride before Quick thought.
Yeah.
There's a natural spot in your stride where you shoot, a shooter shoots, and the goal Quick is waiting for that moment, and then he's going to drop.
Yeah.
And Neal fires it a half a stride earlier, and it Quick's, oh, crap, he got me. Like, he knew, like, the second it came off his stick, like, you got me.
So I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but we're obviously going to continue with the first round and the series against LA. But how important do you think it was in game three that Jonathan Marchessault takes that penalty against Drew Doughty? How important was it that the period ended like 10 seconds later and that LA didn't have time, a full power play, before Vegas was able to go into the locker room, regroup, come out focused, come out ready to go in the third period? Because I feel like if there's 2.5 minutes when Marchessault takes that penalty, I think LA scores. I think they have a 2-goal lead, and I think it's going to be significantly harder for Vegas to come back.
Yeah, I can see that. I didn't even think about that. I do think that they did a great job of getting their composure together in the locker room, and I didn't even think of what would have happened if they didn't have that time. I think Marchessault, more than any player on the team, fell into the trap of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the guy you want being your physical enforcer.
No.
He's obviously the size of the Lucky Charms leprechaun. But you don't want him fighting, especially Drew Doughty. Now, I love Marchessault. Nice guy, great hockey player.
Yeah.
Awesome to have him signed long term. Couldn't be a better teammate, and he fits that line perfectly. But, I mean, he's not big. He's small. He's like 5'8", 5'9"? He's tiny.
Yeah. No, let's talk about Doughty, and let's talk about his stamp on this series, and really his stamp on the entire first season of the Vegas Golden Knights, because there were a lot of teams that were upset and pissed off at the fact that they would come here and lose, or that the Golden Knights would go into their building and beat them. There were a lot of teams that didn't like losing to the quote-unquote expansion team, but I don't think there's anybody that hated it more than Drew Doughty.
Oh, absolutely not.
And his comments earlier in the year, I think it was December, where he said there's no way they will be a better team than us at the end of the year. And full credit to the Golden Knights players after the win. They basically shied away from making any type of definitive comment on that. They just said, that's the reputation he's earned to talk in the media, and that's fine. Not a big deal. When I asked Will Carey about it today, he laughed and smiled and gave me a very diplomatic, very company line answer. But you could tell, based on his smile, that he just got extra satisfaction that, well, it was Drew Doughty that season ended. So Drew Doughty, obviously game one, the suspension, game two, game three, kind of suckers Marchessault into a bad penalty, acts like a jerk after Marchessault takes the penalty.
I thought it was hilarious.
Which is something. And then game four, all he talked about after game three was, well, you know, I played really good. I didn't make very many mistakes. The Carlson lines got nothing in sp- spite of the fact that they got the game-winning goal in Game 3, and would factor into the game-winning goal in Game 4. So at some point, when does Drew Doughty just need to shut up?
See, I, and Golden Knights fans are going to hate me for this take, but I have no problem with Doughty. I honestly don't fault Doughty for saying that quote. If I was in Doughty's position, right? I would probably say the same quote.
Well, because if you don't, then you don't believe in your team, yeah, and you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, and like obviously it was fun, and Golden Knights fans had a blast with that quote.
Yeah.
They had it lined up before the series even started. They're like, oh, can't wait to use this. And obviously it's fun, but I don't, like, what is he supposed to say?
No, they're going to be better than us.
Yeah,
we're awful. We're garbage.
They beat us, man. I guess we're done. Like, it's December. Like, this is a guy that's won 2 Stanley Cups. Like,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with that quote. And I think that's why Golden Knights players weren't, like, ripping him for it. Because, like for example, and all the Golden Knights fans think Drew Doughty is just, like, the worst human being ever for saying that.
Yes.
Would it surprise you if 2 years from now, if Alex Tuch gave that same quote about the Seattle expansion team if they beat him?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I mean, pretty much anybody on the team.
Yeah, but yeah. Alex Tuch is a guy that's probably more vocal than most.
And, yeah.
But Alex is a great guy, and everyone in the Golden Knights loves him, and with good reason, because he's an awesome kid.
Yeah.
He would say something like that. I don't think Drew Doughty saying that makes him like this evil guy. Like, it's just, he's a freaking hockey player, one of the best on earth, and he's confident in him and his team. I don't understand what's wrong.
You know, and it's funny because obviously everybody knows my background. I grew up as a Kings fan. 2012, 2014 are going to be special years for me, obviously. But I was staying with a buddy of mine. And he's a season ticket holder for the Kings. And we were kind of going back and forth a little bit after Game 3 about Drew Doughty and just why his emotion is good and why it's bad. And there's a huge contingent, not just Golden Knights fans, but LA Kings fans that are saying, God, Drew, you need to calm down. You need to be less emotional on the ice. And my opinion on that is pretty simple. You don't want Drew Doughty to be just another guy.
No.
Like, you don't want him to go out there and be like, nah, I'm not going to get in anybody's face. Like, look at P.K. Subban. P.K. Subban is obnoxious on the ice.
Yeah.
He's trying to get guys to get into a scrum. And then as soon as there's, like, that moment in time where it goes from P.K. Subban is instigating because he knows the refs are right there to, oh, crap, this guy's going to drop the gloves and fight me, P.K. Subban goes limp and just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating and annoying. I at least give Doughty credit because he goes in there, he chirps, he talks, he's so frustrating to play against, but he's also not willing to initiate if he's being initiated. And I think that you can't take the emotion out of a player like that. I don't think you'd want to.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I thought him clapping at Marchessault after, because that was exactly what he wanted Marchessault to do. And I thought it was hilarious.
And I agree with you. And The crowd response was a little weird to me.
They, like, loved it.
They were into it, but again, and maybe it was just because the period ended, we went to another intermission, and then they came back with the goal horn that you knew they weren't going to hear again for the rest of the game.
God,
and it just,
I hate that.
It just felt like that should have been one of those turning point moments in the series, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Speaking of the crowd, man, Staples Center sucked.
Garbage.
Terrible.
Garbage.
That is one thing. As dominant as the Golden Knights were on the ice over the Kings, the Golden Knights fans kicked the living crap out of the Los Angeles Kings. Absolutely mopped the ice with them.
So, again, as I was talking, I was staying with my buddy Chris, right? And he, again, is a season ticket holder. So after Game 3, I said, dude, what was up with the crowd tonight? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, guys were quiet and there just really wasn't a lot of energy in the building. Like, what's going on with that? He's like, I don't know, dude. That was like a B minus crowd. Like, we're pretty in tune. I'm like, that's not even like a D crowd on a weekday game in the regular season for Vegas.
No, I feel 100% confident in saying that a Wednesday game against the Ottawa Senators that means nothing has more energy at T-Mobile Arena than Game four facing elimination, the Kings did.
No, I completely agree with you.
Game, I was shocked.
Game four was worse than game three, and I can't even understand. Like, I can't fathom that.
I was shocked at how dead Staples Center was.
And for me, so like in game three, I was sitting up in that second level on the press box with you. And game four, I was actually down on the lower level and like right over the crowd. And I was like, oh, this seems like it's a little bit better. It's a little bit better. That's great and everything. And then just nothing, like no energy during the game.
Yeah, it, and I don't think Staples is bad. I think Staples is probably about where most arenas are.
Right.
T-Mobile's just that much better. Now, are there other playoff games that are probably close to T-Mobile? Like, I've watched the games in Winnipeg, mm-hmm. and it looks awesome. Nashville, obviously, is great. So I don't think it's like T-Mobile and no one else can have a rowdy arena, but...
Sure.
Like San Jose, I'm not expecting to. I'm expecting it to be about like Staples.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been up to San Jose. So
neither
this is gonna be. It's gonna be an interesting one for us, I think, just to kind of see, you know, how that building is. But I thought LA would be a little bit more into it, a little bit more, just something. And that was one of the aspects that most surprised me. I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. Like, and then the best part about it is walking to the Kings locker room after game four. I'm walking through the hallways underneath or on ice level at Staples Center, and I hear the Go Knights Go chants.
Oh, yeah.
And they were
they were chanting Flurry also.
But they were louder than the Kings the entire game, and I'm down below.
There was 3,000 or 4,000 Golden Knights fans, I would say. The national anthem was awesome.
Fantastic.
Dave Proof Through the Night was mm-hmm. so loud. That was spectacular. And then the Kings fans then booing for the next 10 seconds of the anthem. They're booing the anthem because they're so mad.
I'll tell you what I did like that the LA Kings in-game entertainment did is during the national anthem, when it got to the word banners, they showed the Stanley Cup banners like on the Jumbotron, and that got a big pop. But like outside of that and outside of Chris Sutter dancing, there was no life in that building whatsoever.
One thing I liked about their in-game entertainment is before game three, the first game there, they had just come off two losses in Vegas.
Yeah.
And the like pre-game video like montage of highlights, it goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Like that was clever. Now it's not the pregame entertainment guys, it's not their job to beat the Golden Knights. That was the players' job. So I'm not going to fault them for them then losing the next two games, but
yeah.
I thought that was clever and a good use of a popular phrase. I was impressed with
that. I agree with you, but it's only clever and funny and interesting and good if you don't get swept by Vegas.
What happens in Vegas comes back to LA with you.
Yeah. What happens in Vegas comes to LA. You're right. It was absolutely bad all the way
around. And I think after a playoff series, now that we've gone to a playoff series and we've been at all the games, I think the home ice advantage for Vegas is more than I was giving them credit for.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, like I said, I'd never covered an NHL playoff game. I'd never been in the building for a playoff game.
Wow.
And I just assumed that what T-Mobile was like was maybe a little more, but I just assumed this is what playoff hockey is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case.
No.
It's so much better at T-Mobile. And I think that, like, for example, the San Jose series coming up, the home ice advantage that the Golden Knights have in Vegas is so much bigger than what San Jose will have up there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And you're absolutely right. When I was... After the end of the first period in game three in LA, I was like, oh my God, this is what players mean when they say they come into Vegas and it's every single game is like a playoff game. I completely blown away.
Yeah.
Just completely blown away.
And I think the Golden Knights players, because they've been playing in it all year, I think they're used to
mm-hmm.
playing in a hostile, because it's not hostile towards them, but it's still, the noise is still there. It's still on top of them. Like, obviously it's helping them, but like when you're coming down on a breakaway and the building is on fire, it's a different feeling.
Sure.
So I think that now that they're getting into these playoff series and they're going to LA and they're going to San Jose and those crowds are like almost matching what the normal regulars, like they've become accustomed to playing in that environment.
Sure.
And I think it helps them.
Yeah, I agree completely. Anything else you want to say on the LA series?
Shea Theodore was spectacular.
So good.
William Carrier was one of the best players on the ice.
Hey, just really quick on William Carrier, because I think a lot of people were saying, oh my God, this guy comes out, he's hitting everything. That's how he plays. That's how he played every single game that he played for the Vegas Golden Knights. You just forgot because he's been injured.
Yeah. And that's why they held him out for so long, because it was a shoulder injury. And you can't have him come back at 80% because he's going to re-injure himself in the first shift he's out there, because he's a freaking wrecking ball. He has no regard for his own safety at all. He's just flying around.
No, and that's the thing. Like, it didn't change anything that the Vegas Golden Knights do, because when he's in the lineup, that's the aspect that he brings. And that was really the main guy I wanted to talk to. I wanted to talk to Carrier to find out how he's feeling, how he's doing, and then really just how proud he is of his development over this year and his ability with that fourth line, with Belmar and with Nosek, to play important minutes late in games to allow Vegas to roll four lines.
Oh, it was so important. They have the best fourth line in hockey. Gallant won't admit it, but he knows he has the best fourth line in hockey. And if there's a closing thing on this series, I will say their depth, we've known about it all year. We've known this team is deep all year. I mean, we've constantly talked about it. It really, really shows now. The Kings just could not, their third and fourth lines just cannot compete with Vegas. And you look at it, and it's like the third line, now that Alex Tuch is playing so well and he's moved up to that second line and he's kind of solidified himself in that spot with Neal and Halla, the third line is David Perron is third on the team in points.
Mm-hmm.
He had 60 points, and he's on the third line. No team in the playoffs, maybe the Penguins, has.
Now, do you expect Perron to stay in that spot?
I do. I think Tuck's playing out of his mind, and they want him there with Halla and Neal. That was the best line in the series, I think. The best line for the Golden Knights in the Kings series was the Neal Halla Tuck line.
With the exception of Game 4. I think Game 4 was really the game where the Carlson line got it together, and they were dominating play down low. They were finding a lot of scoring chances, which is a good sign moving forward that they're kind of finding their groove, and they're not going to have the caliber of defensemen, and they're not going to have the caliber of shutdown forwards that the Kings did to play against.
Gallant kind of talked about that too. It might have been you. I forgot who asked him after the sweep. Are you worried that the first line didn't score much? I mean, they had the one goal by Carlson where Smith, that crazy face-off.
That pass. My
so
God.
They had that one goal, and other than that, they were quiet. And he was like, no, not really, because this series was our top line shutting down their top line and their top line shutting down our top line. That's just, they pretty much neutralized each other. Kopitar didn't do much. Carlson didn't do much because they were neutralizing each other the whole time. And now you get to San Jose and it's different. San Jose has great players, but there's no Anze Kopitar over there that's going to shut down that line.
Yeah, and even, you know, you can argue that Brent Burns is somewhere in the stratosphere of Drew Doughty, but I'd say you're wrong.
I think they're both very good, but they're different players. Doughty's better defensively.
That's the key. Like, Brent Burns is going to be exposed on defense, and you need your top defenseman to be good at defense.
Yeah, I think Brent Burns, if he wanted to, could be great at defense, but that's just not what he's worried about. He's worried about initiating the rush, jumping into the play, pinching every chance he gets because he's trying to score. That's his mentality. I think he can skate well enough, and I think he's got the stick skills. He could be a really good defenseman. That's just not what he's worried about.
Yeah, but at some point, he's going to have to make that determination. Like, he's not going to be able to just be this floater that kind of goes through, and because he scores a lot of points, everybody kind of just tucks away the fact that he can't really play good defense.
Yeah.
I think that in the games that I've seen of San Jose, at least at T-Mobile Arena, Burns looks slow, and he looks unsure of himself. He's not sure when to make the right pinch. He's not sure when to make the right read. Like, the speed of Vegas is going to stretch Brent Burns out. I don't think that this is going to be a low-scoring series.
No, I agree. It's going to be totally different from the Kings series.
Now, we've got some time left. Do you want to hit any of the other series that are going on? Anything that just has stuck out to you over the course of the first couple of days of the playoffs?
So, what I'm always watching...
The goalies.
has been horrendous. There have been three goalies that have not sucked complete ass so far.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yep.
Jonathan Quick.
Yep.
And Martin Jones.
Yep.
Everything else has been
every
trash.
Other goalie has gotten pulled at least once and just been horrendous. Now, Sergei Bobrovsky is probably the best of the rest, and even he has given up like 8 goals in 4 games. Like, what is more than that, actually. What is going on with the goaltending in the playoffs?
I think that offense has gotten significantly better, and I think goalies, like with John Gibson, he's never been a really good playoff goalie anyway.
He got slaughtered.
Slaughtered, completely. And I think that there's a lot more offensive firepower that on San Jose than I think a lot of teams give them credit for.
Yeah.
And they looked like they just weren't good down the stretch, but I still think that when you add Evander Kane to that lineup, they're significantly better offensively, and John Gibson's just one of those guys that can't ever really get over an injury, and I'm sure he was playing hurt, and I'm sure that he wasn't 100%. Pekka Rinne is Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, the guy can play lights out of his mind at home, but for whatever reason, when he's on the road in the playoffs, he is a sieve. He's awful.
The Avs killed him in Nashville, too. The Predators just were going against an even crappier goalie than Jonathan Bernier. He's awful.
And that's the funny thing about this. Like, everybody's writing in Nashville over Winnipeg. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because you can make the argument, honestly, you can make the argument that if Varlamov wasn't injured, Colorado might be leading this series.
Yeah, Nashville has looked shaky at best.
Like, I mean,
But Winnipeg, Hellebuck is awful too. He got pulled in the second period against the freaking Wild without Suter.
Yeah.
Hellebuck has been trash. Dubnyk, trash. Pekka Rinne, trash. Jonathan Bernier, trash. Let's keep going. Vasilevsky has been trash against the Devils. He gives up 9 goals a game. Luckily for him, the Devils are a freaking carousel of goaltenders. Schneider and Kincaid have been giving up 13 goals a game or whatever. They're trash. Both of them are trash. Bruins, Tuukka Rask has played solid. I'll give him that.
He's been okay.
Frederick Anderson, garbage. He's been awful.
Frederick Anderson's so funny because he's like Jonathan Quick, but like way, way less talented. Like, Frederick Anderson makes these saves that there's no physical possible way that he should make the save, one, and that he should even be remotely close to in the vicinity of the puck, two, and then he'll let in like a 90-foot floater.
Yeah. Well, the stick paddle save was amazing, but yeah. I mean, that's like a he just dives and
it's
they have
less,
to shoot
it's,
it.
It's
at
less
his
Frederick
stick.
Anderson. Yeah. It's more the offensive player screwing up.
Let's keep
up.
Going. Holtby and Grubauer, they have no idea what they're doing in Washington. Their goaltending has been awful. Bobrovsky, I already talked about. He hasn't been awful, but he hasn't been good.
Where the hell is Peter Mrazek?
The Flyers may have the worst goaltending in the history of hockey. Murray has been really good in 2 games and looked very bad in the other one.
But, okay, so here's my question. The Flyers bring in Peter Mrazek at the trade deadline because, oh my gosh, we're close-ish to a playoff spot. We really want to give our team a chance. Brian Elliott's hurt. Michael Neuvirth's hurt. We don't know what we have. We bring in Peter Mrazek. Peter Mrazek plays relatively well down the stretch. There was talk that maybe it was Mrazek, maybe it was going to be Elliott. They didn't really know who was going to start. And the other night, I see that Elliott started, and he was pulled again.
Yeah.
And in comes Neuvirth. Where in the hell is Peter Mrazek?
He's worse than them. They have no good goalie there. Look, as someone that loves goaltending, I love watching goalies. Whenever Bobrovsky or Carey Price or one of these guys, Vasilevsky this year, is on TV, I want to watch it because it's fun to watch. The goaltending has been horrendous
in the
NHL playoffs.
No, it's been really bad. And
other than the Golden Knights series.
And so, what do you hope for then in round two? Like, because it's looking like we're getting Vasilevsky versus Rask.
Which Vasilevsky has not played well at all. Rask has been solid.
So you think Boston is primed to maybe upset the Lightning?
I could see that. I picked Tampa to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, actually. But Boston's playing much better right now.
And so now here's the other thing that I want to talk to you about. It's the Columbus and Washington series. Obviously, Washington drops the first 2 games of the series in overtime. They win game three in overtime. Did game four go to overtime?
No, they won 5-2.
It was like 5-2 or something. Yeah. So Washington ties up the series. Neither of the home teams were able to win a game on home ice. Is this Washington comes back and exercises their demons, or is it Columbus kind of let it slip away a little bit in game three and game four, and they shouldn't really panic too much? Because let's be honest, it's Washington.
I think Columbus blew it. To go back to Columbus up 2-0 and to not win a single one at home, blew it. I think Washington's going to win the series. I think Columbus blew it. So, I think Columbus might be the next Washington, the new Washington.
Well, I mean, they're certainly the new Washington when it comes to losing to the Penguins, that's for sure. But I still feel like this is destined to be that classic Washington Capitals series where they face adversity early, and then they're like, you know what, guys? We're too good for this. They come back. They tie the series. They may even win game five, go up 3-2, and then they're just going to fail. They're just going to fail all over. They're going to lose game six. Yeah, you know,
they usually save that for the second
round. Yeah, I know they do, but like, I just – what would be a more heartbreaking way to lose in the first round? Like, you face adversity, you come back, you get everybody to believe in you again. They're believing harder than they've ever believed, ever. Nah. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nah, sorry.
I mean, yeah, that would suck. That's not what I think is going to happen. I think Washington's going to win the series.
Okay, so then playing devil's advocate, let's just say they do. Let's say they win the series. They go on to play the Penguins.
We already know how this ends.
Hold on, no. This is a legitimate question. I'm asking a serious question. They go on to play the Penguins. Does the fact that they were down 2-0 after losing the first two games on home ice and everything looked like it was destined for disaster, does that experience, along with every other failure that they've ever had in the playoffs, do those experiences finally mount to something and they end up winning a series?
No.
Against the Penguins?
They might win a game.
You're just giving them a game?
Their goaltending is horrible, and you've seen what Pittsburgh has done to bad goalies.
Yeah.
They are making the Flyers look like fools. It doesn't even,
like it's not even close.
That series looks like that team does not belong on the ice with them. I mean, they are they are just shredding these goalies. And I don't think the Capitals goalies right now are much better than what the Flyers have. Grubauer and Holtby have been bad.
That's fair. But, okay, so while the Flyers have been awful, at least Radko Gudas had the wherewithal to give Philadelphia fans an excuse for why they're so awful when taking out his own top line center and Sean Couturier in practice, causing Couturier to miss the game. How in the hell does that happen? Like, how does that happen? Did you see the video?
No.
Couturier's coming in on a drill and Gudas is skating backwards, just completely oblivious to the fact that there's a drill happening in you're a professional hockey player. How do you not know when you're on the ice at practice there are drills happening around you? And he goes knee on knee with Couturier.
Oh.
Couturier goes upside down, falls down to the ice, throws his stick against the boards. Like, he knew immediately he was out.
Man. I mean, they had no chance anyways. The Flyers,
sure, but
the Penguins own their soul, but just like they own the Capitals' soul. I'm thinking the Capitals have. I could see them winning four in a row. I could see Capitals in six, and then Penguins in five over the Capitals.
Okay, all right, I could see that too.
The Penguins are playing so well, man. Nobody wants to play them right now. I guarantee it. Not Boston. Nobody wants to play the Penguins.
Here's the thing that I love about playoff hockey: pacing yourself and Sidney Crosby. Oh my God, Crosby only had 89 points in the regular season. It's the first time he's played 82 games in a regular season, and he only had 89 points. What's wrong with Sidney Crosby? Well, nothing.
11 points.
11 points.
In four games.
Like, and it's like not even close. He's just like, oh, it's the playoffs? Okay, and now I'm interested.
Yeah, I was messaging you the other day. Their power play makes me uneasy watching it because it's so freaking dangerous. Like, every player, like, normally, like, the Golden Knights power play is decent, but there are certain guys that when it goes over to them, it's like, okay, we can kind of like exhale for a second. Like, sure. Like when Holla gets it, like I know he's not gonna fire. Mm-hmm. Like Holla's just not that guy. Like he's gonna pass this one. Or when you throw it to Tuck behind the net, like he's not. It's not dangerous. Like he's gonna pass it, and maybe they get out to Colin Miller and he'll stop. The Penguins, when they have their number one power play unit out there with Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, Letang, and Gensel.
Yeah.
It is freaking terrifying. I don't. There. What do you do?
Nothing.
And they. And not only like individually are they so good, but they work so well together. It's yeah. terrifying to watch. Yeah. Like it's. They get a high danger scoring chance, an average of like once every 7 seconds on the power. Like it's unbelievable how good they are. You cannot get in the penalty box, or it's a goal. Basically, they're so good.
It's ridiculous how good this team is. It really is. And. I mean, how awesome is Phil Kessel? Like let's just the guy looks like nobody. He plays.
He's a fat ass.
But he's fast.
Yeah, he's a fast fat ass. It's
he's
awesome.
Fast.
He eats hot dogs out of the Stanley Cup,
and he scores goals.
Scores
and
50
just,
goals.
I like.
How many goals did he have? He actually. Did, yeah, I think he only had like 30.
Oh,
he had
like 30, but he was leading them in scoring for a while.
Yeah,
and I mean,
he's awesome.
He's just the greatest thing that's ever happened to hockey.
Definitely really my favorite Penguin.
Yeah. All right. So let's shift gears. Nashville and Colorado. I keep Nathan MacKinnon had 2 goals, I think, in game 3, and it was kind of one of those he was visible games, but he wasn't dominating type games. Is Nathan MacKinnon going to dominate game 5?
He has to, or they have no chance. It's really their only chance. And they need Rene to continue to suck. If Rene plays his B game, the Nashville's never going to lose to Colorado because they're just better. But, I mean, yeah, I could see MacKinnon coming out, and that's today, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping the Avs make it a series just because, one, there aren't many series.
No.
Like, what's going on in the NHL playoffs?
Washington-Columbus is the only series now.
All of the people that love to hate on the NBA and, like I feel like every year when NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs start, obviously NBA gets higher ratings because basketball is just a more popular sport in America and hockey's kind of niche. But you always see like all the hockey fans saying like, look, this is why the NBA sucks because none of the first round series are even competitive. Look at the NHL. Every series is going 6 or 7 games.
I like your complainer voice. Yeah. Look at that guy. Yeah. Look at him.
That's anytime someone tweets me, I just imagine their voice.
That's how you read it.
Every Twitter person that tweets me angrily, that's the voice I read your tweet in. So, but anyways, this year has been very disappointing for the first round.
It's been awful.
One series. It's Columbus Columbus, Washington.
Yeah, I think today and tomorrow can see.
It's going to be 3 closeouts tonight.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 5-game closeouts.
3 today and 2 tomorrow.
Because
then...
Let's see. Let me look at these games today. No, none of these teams that are down 3-1 are going to win today. I mean, I have no confidence in saying that they're going to win.
Yeah, what is it? It's Colorado. Colorado's going to lose.
So it's the first game is at 4. That's Flyers-Penguins. Flyers have no chance.
Done.
Then it's Wild-Jets. I have no reason to think the Wild are going to win a game.
Especially with Parise out now.
In Winnipeg, yeah.
That's not happening.
And then Avs at Nashville. They're not going to go into Nashville and win that game. I just don't see it happening.
New Jersey isn't going to come back. I don't think they're going to win. I mean,
yeah, that's tomorrow.
Taylor Hall looks exhausted.
That's tomorrow. Devils Lightning tomorrow. Yeah, it'll probably be Lightning again. And then Bruins Maple Leafs. When the Maple Leafs won game 3, I thought... And remember, I picked Boston. I thought Boston was going to win the series. I think they're the better team. But when the Maple Leafs won game 3 and made it 2-1, I was like, all right, this is going to be the series of the first round.
And that was my thought, too. I'm like, okay, they win game 3. They'll probably win game 4 because home ice, Austin Matthews, you have to assume as if he's getting away from Bergeron, he should be dominating, which is what Mike Babcock said after the game last night. He said, I thought he was going to dominate, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So... That's a great way to build confidence for a young player. But secondarily, it didn't happen. And you have to think, right, that Toronto was saying, if we can go back to Boston tied and we get Nazem Kadri back, we're in a good spot.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been over in 4. And fortunately, we get Kadri back. fortunately, we can start doing some things. We can get our lines looking the way we want them to. We don't have to play Plekanec up on the second or first line, and that helps. But yeah, going back to Boston, down 3-1, I don't see a way the Leafs come back in this series.
Well, not only that, but they didn't show up in game four.
No, it was.
I bet on the Leafs in game four, by the way, so I'm very bitter about it. I'm more bitter than I would normally be.
Are you angry with Austin Matthews' lack of domination too?
Yes, I am.
More angry than Mike Babcock?
I don't think I can be as angry as Mike Babcock. Like, oh. I don't think I've. The only thing that makes me as angry as Mike Babcock is LA traffic.
Upper body, day to day.
No, but yeah, this. The overarching theme, I think, of the first round of the NHL playoffs has been just, it's not what we expect.
It's disappointing.
It's been very disappointing.
Now, I'm really pissed off at Washington. Not just because they've always let me down, but why? Like, I don't think they're going to win this series. I still don't think they're going to win this series. And a lot of that has to do with my inability to ever pick them for anything again. So if they're not going to win this series, but they push it to a game seven, and therefore the Golden Knights have to don't get to play the second round until Thursday, I'm going to be fuming. I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be so angry at Alex Ovechkin.
Well, that's really the only series that's like the holdup, because none of the other ones are going seven.
No,
clearly.
and after tomorrow, that might be that will be the only series going on, and we're going to have days in between with no hockey.
I love that. Yeah, I know. I love that we're recording this, and then, like, watch. It's going to come out. This podcast is going to come out whenever. It's going to be after these three games. All three of them are going to be 3-2, and it's going to, like, all of them are, watch, we're going to have, like, six game seven.
Yeah, no, probably, probably.
Just because, like, that's just how it works.
Given what we do as far as jinxes go, I think we put the jinx on, what, five teams now?
Oh, man, hey, so that was one of my favorite things was the game three, quick. It didn't seem like Quick was ever going to allow another goal for the rest of his life. Right? Am I right? Going into the third period, I didn't think there was any chance the Golden Knights score. And I tweet out, Jonathan Quick is 20 minutes away from his, whatever it is, 12th career playoff shutout. And then the Golden Knights score the Cody Eakin goal. And everyone that normally is like on me for jinxing the shutout.
Way to go,
like,
way to go, Jesse.
Like, you lovable jinx, you. They're like all just happy as can be. But like,
hey guys, Jesse's jinx worked.
But the thing is, I mean, should we go on this jinx thing again? Like, people say that I jinxed Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, my response is, well, if a jinx is a thing, then why don't you all just say the opposing goalie has a shutout right at the beginning of the game so that he'll give up a goal
right
to work in your favor? But then the counter to that is, well, it has to be your team. I can't jinx the other team. I can only jinx my own team. So then my counter to that is the Golden Knights are not my team.
Yeah.
I cover them as a journalist. I am not a Golden Knights fan. I do not own a piece of Golden Knights merchandise. I'm not a Golden Knights fan.
So are you going to be tweeting out Pekka Rinne is going into today's game with a shutout?
Yeah. So then they say, "Oh, well, they consider me a fan because I cover the team, so I can only jinx the Golden Knights." But then when I jinx Quick and it works, then they say, "Oh, so now all of a sudden I can jinx the other team."
Jinxes are stupid. Like, you're right. As much as I love the Suck It Granger hashtag, I think jinxes are for losers are probably...
Yeah.
It's probably my second favorite hashtag. And I remember game four when you were bitching about the goal horn.
Oh, I hate it.
And I quote tweeted you, and this was probably my favorite tweet that I had of the weekend when I said... in fairness, it's the only way the home team crowd's going to hear the goal horn. That was me jinxing Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, and nobody
caught
it,
though. And guess what? He still got a shutout.
Well, oh, yeah. And I did it. I sent out the jinx, too.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you said donuts. Say shutout.
You said donuts.
I lied.
Yeah, well. I mean, when the guy himself says, yeah, I don't read your tweets during the game. Like, who gives a shit? Who cares?
Well, it's not even like Marc-Andre Fleury like doesn't follow me. Like, he doesn't have Twitter. He's not on Twitter. Marc-Andre Fleury does not have a Twitter.
That's smart.
Yeah, especially with how crazy the people are with him.
I agree.
But Yeah, I mean, I tried to jinx him. He had two shutouts this series, and I tried to jinx both of them, and neither time did it work. But he got the shutout in both.
Now, are you trying to jinx it just because you're out to prove that jinxes aren't real?
Yeah.
Or, but, like, aren't you afraid that the odds are not in your favor? Like, that when you tweet out going into the third period shutout, I would love to see what the numbers are.
Oh,
as
yeah,
far
I mean,
as how it, many times you're wrong.
The chances of it being a shutout are slim. He's had, right. what, five shutouts this season? I mean, and I've done it 100 times. No, I don't do it to prove that jinxes are wrong. Sometimes that's a byproduct, and it's hilarious. What I do it for is to piss everyone off.
Jesse Granger hates people.
I do it because I genuinely like the anger that it causes on Twitter.
We're gonna have to bookmark this episode and like give it to anybody that's thinking about doing a Jesse Granger endorsement tweet. Like, hey guys, go follow Jesse Granger. He's a stand-up dude. He
like
Arash
Markazi did
yeah.
today.
Yeah, he loves people. He's awesome. He's got the greatest coverage. And then it's like, just cue your voice. I love pissing people off.
It's fun to me.
It is.
But the thing is, like, and these people that get angry, I think they like it too, secretly. Like, if I was just boring and just tweeted out, goal, Vancouver, 1-0.
I know some people that do that.
Yeah. If I just did that, like, that's not a fun follow. Like, I think they like me to piss them off.
See, and I think it's really fun too. Like, a lot of people were asking me how I was going to handle this series, given that I'm a Kings fan.
Yeah.
And I said, one, covering a team has kind of sucked the life and the fun out of being a fan. Like I look at it in a completely different way.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way necessarily, but just a different way now.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed it because 95% of my King fandom dealt with awful years and self-deprecation. Like there was nothing redeeming about most of the LA Kings teams for the majority of my fandom. But now at least I can make jokes about Trevor Lewis not being able to score a goal because it's Trevor Lewis. I can make jokes about Tyler Toffoli just sucking in the playoffs. Like, I can do that, and it's fun.
Man,
he was bad. Toffoli was awful.
You know who was worse?
Who?
Did you even hear, see, or say Jeff Carter's name one time in four games?
Invisible.
Like, he legit, like, could have been injured in those four games, and I wouldn't have even noticed.
And you said who was worse. I didn't even think about Jeff Carter because I didn't even think that he was playing. I forgot he was playing.
You forgot Jeff Carter was a person.
That's crazy. I didn't even think about that until now.
He literally did nothing the entire series.
Yeah. I mean, that entire line did nothing. But yeah. And that Toffoli, oh my God, that Toffoli shot in game three where the puck comes out, he's wide open in the slot. He has a wide open net. And he goes low on the ice.
Well, and Fleury makes an amazing save that he shouldn't have been able to make if you just put it in the top half of the net.
You can't shoot low there.
Yeah, you have to put it in the top half of the net.
You just can't. All right, so Ari's pacing outside the studio. I think you've got some stories to write or something like that, something about a job that you have. So we're going to cut it here. We will be back before the start of San Jose and Vegas in the second round to kind of break that down a little bit more in depth than what we did today. I know we actually talked about not talking about it, and then we ended up talking about it.
Yeah.
So those things typically happen. So, Jesse, where can people find you, and what are you working on?
Find me at @JesseGranger_ on Twitter. Arash Markazi recommends me to
endorsement
the follow, so that's good for me.
Telling you,
he's the man.
We got to bookmark this and send it to Arash.
And you can follow me or find my stories at LasVegasSun.com. So the next couple days, we got a few days off. I've got a story tomorrow about the layoff. I talked to a bunch of players. I talked to Coach. I talked to McPhee about the layoff and what they think about it. And then kind of a cool thing, George McPhee had a glowing endorsement of Gerard Gallant's ability to work with younger players and stick with them in the lineup. And I got Gallant's thoughts on that. And then I got the two players that everyone knows that are the players that he had to work with. That's Alex Tuck and Shea Theodore. I got their thoughts on it and also what it could mean for Cody Glass.
Interesting.
Maybe next year.
Interesting. God, could you imagine?
Yeah. So, Gallants.
Like, what if they just don't suck ever?
By the way, Cody's awesome. He just went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was texting him the other day about his, like, he made a date. He made his, like, practice debut.
Sure.
He's pumped to, I mean, it's obviously AHL, but he's pumped just to be there.
Right.
Kind of like what Dylan Ferguson is doing with the Golden Knights.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Got to talk to him in the press box in L.A. because he was watching the Capitals game. I guess he's like he knows Holtby personally or something.
Oh, there you go.
But
did you tell him to text Holtby and say, don't stop sucking?
Yeah. He should probably go play for Holtby. He can't be any worse. It was funny because I'm talking to Dylan Ferguson, who I think everyone listening to this should know Dylan Ferguson because he was up earlier, but he's the guy from Kamloops.
He made a point-blank save on Connor McDavid, the most valuable player. How valuable could you be if you can't beat Dylan Ferguson?
Dylan Ferguson's great goalie. But anyways, I'm talking to him in the LA press box, and the like arena security lady is standing next to us, and I'm talking to him, and she's like, oh, you like watching this game? To Dylan Ferguson, and he goes, yeah, well, I'm a goalie, so I like to watch the goalkeeping. Sure. And she goes, oh, do you like play here in town? Like, thinking that he like plays like intramural at the rink.
Oh, what the?
She goes, oh, so do you play here in town or where? And he goes, no, for the Golden Knights. And I'm laughing so hard. I'm cracking up. And she goes, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, no. I wouldn't expect you to know. I mean, I'm not even like really their goalie. Like, I'm like the third guy, but I'm just here. I usually play in the WHL, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it was just so funny that she's like, oh, do you play in town?
Hey, what beer league team do you play for? I got a cousin. He plays down in El Monte. He's really good. He lights the lamp all the time. It's like, oh, no, I play for the Golden Knights. Oh, the Tulsa Golden Knights. No, I play for the Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, the team that's sweeping the Kings right now. I play for them.
Well, Dylan Ferguson couldn't even play for beer league hockey because he's not old enough to get in those leagues. He'd have to play for, like, the like youth team. He'd be on the junior Golden Knights or the junior Kings or whatever they are.
Poor guy.
He's little. Yeah. He's a little kid.
Well, I can be found at Ryan Hockey Guy on Twitter. We will both be in San Jose whenever those schedules are released. So stay up to the minute with all Vegas Golden Knights news by following Jesse, follow myself. Obviously subscribe if you haven't already to the Rink Rats. We are gaining some listeners, gaining some people that are jumping on the train. So please make sure to like and subscribe on iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. It obviously helps out very much when it comes to saying, hey, type in hockey podcast or Vegas podcast. We will pop up before some of the other ones that aren't as good as we are. So
help us out.
Yeah. That all being said, we will be back with the second round Sharks versus Vegas Golden Knights preview the next time you hear from us. Thanks for listening. Again, like, subscribe, comment, all that fun stuff. Bye.